6 minutes past 8.
Augustus Barnett proudly presents The World of Melanie Parker.
Isn't it wonderful? The Melanie Parker song has won the Euroflop Song Contest. Soon we shall be returning in triumph to England and to Woodstone Green. But in the meantime, the entire British delegation has been invited to spend a few days at a nearby Transylvanian stately home.
No, no, Melanie, you mustn't stay there.
Oh, Vicar, there's nothing immodest about staying with a friend.
But Melanie...
Ah, here we are. You're so Victorian. Look at all the chaperones I've got. You, crusty old Adam Grote.
I'm not talking about your moral welfare, Melanie. It's...
Ah, this is a beautiful Melanie Parker.
Oh.
Welcome to Castle Dracula.
Is the vicar worrying needlessly, or is Melanie's Transylvanian host a bit of a lady killer? And why does Augustus Barnett carry such an amazingly wide range of wines and spirits? How does he keep his prices so low? Listen tomorrow to episode 243 of The World of Melanie Parker, brought to you by Augustus Barnett.
Augustus Barnett proudly presents The World of Melanie Parker.
Our Transylvanian host continues to entertain us in great style, and the vicar's fuddy-duddy fears for my moral welfare have proved unfounded. The Count has not once attempted any indelicate familiarities upon my person. Oh, Count, you made me jump.
I have indeed made no amorous advances, my dear. You are like a Transylvanian she-goat, wild and free, leaping from crag to crag in virtuous innocence.
Oh, you sound just like Guy Trueheart.
I shall kill him.
Oh, you mustn't be jealous, Count.
Let me kiss your neck.
No, no, Melanie! Don't let him!
Oh, honestly, Vicar.
Why is the vicar being such a spoilsport? Does a little necking lead to other things?
I do hope so.
And why does Augustus Barnett carry such an amazingly wide range of wines and spirits? How does he keep his prices so low? Listen tomorrow to episode 244 of The World of Melanie Parker, brought to you by Augustus Barnett.
Augustus Barnett proudly presents The World of Melanie Parker.
I don't want to sound conceited, but I think that Count Dracula is rather smitten with me. Every evening at dinner in the Great Hall, he is constantly whispering sweet nothings in my ear.
Tonight, Melanie Parker, when all the others have gone to bed, may I...
Speak up, Draki, we can't hear you!
Oh, isn't he dreadful, Count?
Yes. Crusty old, may I offer you a glass of this excellent poisoned wine?
No, I hate that foreign muck.
So do I.
And what's more, we're bored.
You will be bored no longer. I have imported an exotic entertainment. Bring on the booble dancer.
Oh. Good heavens, it's Miss Brindle.
What is a booble dancer? And who is standing in for Miss Brindle at the Tudor Burgonitery?
Well, modesty forbade.
Why does Augustus Barnett carry such an amazingly wide range of wines and spirits? How does he keep his prices so low? Listen tomorrow to episode 245 of The World of Melanie Parker, brought to you by Augustus Barnett.
Augustus Barnett proudly presents The World of Melanie Parker.
Count Dracula has imported the bubble-dancing Miss Brindle to his Transylvanian castle. Isn't she marvelous, Count?
Unusual, certainly. Are all English librarians as liberated as this?
Arthur, stop that!
It wasn't me, Amelia!
And indeed it wasn't. The bubble-popping culprit was our mischievous host, Count Dracula himself, snapping at Miss Brindle's accoutrements with his teeth.
And now I shall kiss your neck, Miss Brindle.
But as Count Dracula leaned forward, the vicar hurled himself across the great hall and pushed the lissom librarian to one side. Unable to stop himself, Count Dracula fell upon the neck of another guest.
Here, Geralt! What do you think you're doing? Arrgh!
Why is crusty old Gonarg? Will he go bats as well? And why does Augustus Barnett carry such an amazingly wide range of wines and spirits? How does he keep his prices so low? Listen next Monday to episode 246 of The World of Melanie Parker, brought to you by Augustus Barnett.
Augustus Barnett proudly presents The World of Melanie Parker.
There was pandemonium in the Great Hall of Castle Dracula when our host sank his teeth into Crusty Old's neck.
You wicked, wicked man!
Is Crusty Old gonna turn into a bat, Vicar?
It's quite possible, Mr. Grote.
Look, he's sprouting wings already.
No, Mr. Quill, he's always been round-shouldered.
You cheeky great nurdle!
Crusty Old, thank heavens you're all right!
Take more than a set of foreign choppers to put me out of business!
Oh, Count Dracula, what is it? What's the matter? Speak to me!
You're wretched, Crusty Old. I broke my teeth on his leathery old neck.
Is Bram Stoker turning in his grave? Can anyone account for the Count being out for the Count?
I never counted on that.
And why does Augustus Barnett carry such an amazingly wide range of wines and spirits? How does he keep his prices so low? Listen tomorrow to episode 247 of The World of Melanie Parker, brought to you by Augustus Barnett.
Augustus Barnett proudly presents The World of Melanie Parker.
At last it was time to say farewell to Count Dracula and to Transylvania, home of the Euroflop Song Contest. The moment we arrived at London Airport, I was surrounded by reporters.
What does it feel like, Melanie? Yeah, I mean, what does it feel like to be the constant companion of a well-known aristocrat?
What do you mean?
He means a silly sausage what broke his choppers on me neck.
No. We were just good friends.
Well, why's the gentleman here, then?
Hello, Melanie, my darling. I'm delightful to be here.
But you weren't on the aeroplane.
I flew over last night. Oh, by the way, gentlemen of the press, now that I'm in England, I wish to be known as plain Mister.
Is the Count changing his name, and if so, what to?
Fred Dracula.
And why does Augustus Barnett carry such an amazingly wide range of wines and spirits? How does he keep his prices so low? Listen tomorrow to episode 248 of The World of Melanie Parker, brought to you by Augustus Barnett.
Augustus Barnett proudly presents The World of Melanie Parker.
Woodstone Green has not readily accepted poor Mr. Dracula, who has aroused a great deal of vulgar curiosity. The other day, I chanced upon a hostile crowd outside his new home at the top of Flasher's Rise, shouting imprecations.
Imprecation!
Why are you all being so unkind?
Because we don't like him, that's why.
Ah, let's tar and feather him.
Is he really so unpopular?
Unpopular? He's so unpopular, the speaking clock hangs up on him.
We don't like his pet bat, neither.
Oh, he's got a little pussy.
Not a cat, you daft turnip, a bat. Oh, there it is, look, fluttering about on his front window.
Talking about me again, gentlemen.
Who said that?
Can bats talk, or is Mr. Dracula a ventriloquist? And why does Augustus Barnett carry such an amazingly wide range of wines and spirits? How does he keep his prices so low? Listen tomorrow to episode 249 of The World of Melanie Parker, brought to you by Augustus Barnett.
Augustus Barnett proudly presents The World of Melanie Parker.
The people of Woodstone Green have not taken to Mr. Dracula. They don't like his aristocratic manner, and they don't like his pet bat, which, so they say, stays out all night. I decided the poor man needs cheering up. So Crusty Old and I called round to his house for a nice gossipy chat.
Here, the front door's open. Look. Come on, Melanie Nosy Parker.
What, do you think we ought to? I mean, he might be in the bath or something.
Oi, Dracky, where are ya?
Hey, come on. I bet he's in the front room.
My goodness, a coffin.
Good morning, Melanie Parker. I'm afraid I overslept after a heavy night out.
Hasn't the Count got a bed to go to? And who supplied the coffin?
Sidney Quill, at your service.
Why does Augustus Barnett carry such an amazingly wide range of wines and spirits? How does he keep his prices so low? Listen tomorrow to episode 250 of The World of Melanie Parker, brought to you by Augustus Barnett.
Augustus Barnett proudly presents The World of Melanie Parker.
Because I won the Euroflop Song Contest, I was invited to appear on the Rowdy Randolph radio show, together with Mr. Dracula.
Hi there, folks. Rowdy Randolph here, and it's welcome to Melanie.
Hello.
And a new neighbour, Mr. Dracula. Tell me, Mr. Dracula, are you related to the famous Count Dracula? Oh, no, he was a very wicked man. Well, I am quite harmless. And turning to you, Melanie, any new songs?
Well, I...
Perhaps I could speak for this so charming neck. I mean, lady. Melanie Parker is soon to be a changed person. You mean married, Dracky, baby? Married? Oh, no.
Oh, Mr. Dracula, this is so sudden.
Has Melanie got hold of the wrong end of the stake? Will she be the bride of Dracula?
No, you don't understand.
And why does Augustus Barnett carry such an amazingly wide range of wines and spirits? How does he keep his prices so low? Listen next Monday to episode 251 of The World of Melanie Parker, brought to you by Augustus Barnett.
Augustus Barnett proudly presents The World of Melanie Parker.
Nobody was more astonished than I when that nice Mr. Dracula asked me to marry him.
No, I didn't.
And strangely attractive, though he undoubtedly is, I just can't make up my mind whether to say yes or no.
Say no. Please say no.
Above all, I don't want to hurt his feelings, so I decided to ask the vicar's advice.
Don't you understand, Melanie? If you marry him, he'll bite your neck and turn you into a bat. Then you'll be a vampire, too.
Oh, vicar, what nonsense.
You will suffer a fate worse than death.
Vicar, I think the time has come to tell you that I know something about Mr. Dracula that you don't know. Well, a couple of things, actually.
Does Melanie really know a thing or two? Is Mr. Dracula a vampire without a secret? And why does Augustus Barnett carry such an amazingly wide range of wines and spirits? How does he keep his prices so low? Listen tomorrow to episode 252 of The World of Melanie Parker, brought to you by Augustus Barnett.
Augustus Barnett proudly presents The World of Melanie Parker.
I needed to discuss Mr. Dracula's proposal of marriage, so I went to see him. He was sitting up in his coffin having breakfast. Mr. Dracula, if we were to marry, would I have to sleep in that coffin with you?
You would not like that?
Well, not really.
Then yes, I'm afraid you would have to. It would be a double coffin, of course.
Mr. Dracula, I feel I need a little more time.
Take all the time you want, a century.
Oh, I wouldn't keep you waiting that long. And in the meantime, you may kiss my neck if you like.
No, don't let him, Melanie.
Oh, Vicar, do stop following me about.
You wicked man. You intend to bite her neck.
My dear Vicar, even if I wished to do so, I could not. I am, how you say, important.
Is Mr. Dracula really a very important person? Does he need a pick-me-up? And why does Augustus Barnett carry such an amazingly wide range of wines and spirits? How does he keep his prices so low? Listen tomorrow to episode 253 of The World of Melanie Parker, brought to you by Augustus Barnett.
Augustus Barnett proudly presents The World of Melanie Parker.
When Mr. Dracula accidentally fell upon Krusty Old's leathery neck, he broke two of his front teeth. Yesterday I met him coming out of the dentist's.
Imagine Dracula with false teeth and a loose into the bargain.
Oh, no, they're lovely. Much nicer than your old pointy ones.
Oh, what's going on here, then?
Krusty Old, don't you think Mr. Dracula has a lovely smile?
Hey, well, let's have a look.
Oh, dear, oh, Lord.
Why are you laughing?
Them new teeth of yours, them all loose.
I know that, you fool. Why are you so amused?
Because with them new choppers, you're all shattering, no do.
Will Melanie be bitten in name alone? Why is Mr. Dracula so upset about his top set? And why does Augustus Barnett carry such an amazingly wide range of wines and spirits? How does he keep his prices so low? Listen tomorrow to episode 254 of The World of Melanie Parker, brought to you by Augustus Barnett.
Augustus Barnett proudly presents The World of Melanie Parker.
Oh, dear. Mr. Dracula has asked me to marry him, and I still can't make up my mind. Nevertheless, when the famous radio program Ask a Silly Question visited Woodstone Green, I was ridiculously proud when Dracky was invited to be one of the distinguished panelists.
And the next question comes from...
World famous. Does the team think Melanie Parker will marry Mr. Dracula?
Oh, really world famous.
Does the team think Melanie Parker will marry Mr. Dracula, Dracky?
Unfortunately, it will not be possible, since there is, how you say, something missing. In our relationship, Krusty Old.
Rubbish! You just don't want to get itched!
Has Krusty Old put his finger on Mr. Dracula's dilemma?
Nobody does that and lives.
And why does Augustus Barnett carry such an amazingly wide range of wines and spirits? How does he keep his prices so low? Listen tomorrow to episode 255 of The World of Melanie Parker, brought to you by Augustus Barnett.
Augustus Barnett proudly presents The World of Melanie Parker.
Oh, how embarrassing! In the middle of a live broadcast of Ask a Silly Question, Mr. Dracula said that he would not be able to marry me.
We'll pass on to another question, I think, this time from the Reverend Arthur Moat.
Thank you. Why doesn't Mr. Dracula want to marry Melanie?
The vicar asks, why doesn't Mr. Dracula want to marry Melanie, Sir John?
Well, a woman is a thing of me and a bone and a hank of hair, but a cigar... What was the question again?
Why don't you ask old Dracky a daft nurdle?
It is quite simple, Woodstone Green peasants and silly panelists. I cannot marry Melanie Parker because I am promised to another.
Is Dracula a Casanova? And if so, how many other aliases does he have? Why does Augustus Barnett carry such an amazingly wide range of wines and spirits? How does he keep his prices so low? Listen next Monday to episode 256 of The World of Melanie Parker, brought to you by Augustus Barnett.
Augustus Barnett proudly presents The World of Melanie Parker.
I know I haven't actually said yes to Mr. Dracula's proposal of marriage, but to be turned down before the event, as it were, was humiliating.
And the jilting of Melanie Parker by our distinguished panelist, Mr. Dracula, brings to an end another edition of Ask a Silly Question. people of Woodstone Green, you've been a splendidly boring audience. And as you say in these parts, Hawkeye the New, it's been Reet Gradley up Flasher's Rise.
Ask him who he is going to marry, then.
Oh, we've just time, I think. Who are you going to marry, Mr. Dracula?
She is like the wind, free and strong. Her kneecaps are licentiousness in leather. Her boobles are an artistic delight.
Yes, we love each other.
Can the ill-assorted pair make a ghoul of it? Is Mr. Dracula Miss Brindle's Mr. Wrong?
That's right.
Why does Augustus Barnett carry such an amazingly wide range of wines and spirits? How does he keep his prices so low? Listen tomorrow to episode 257 of The World of Melanie Parker, brought to you by Augustus Barnett.
Augustus Barnett proudly presents The World of Melanie Parker.
I can hardly believe that Mr. Dracula and Miss Brindle were married 2 days ago. The reception was held at the Tudor Burgerette, where a prodigious number of frozen ferret pies were washed down with a veritable river of Mrs. Quill's best quality cocoa. At last it was time for the happy couple to leave for their Transylvanian honeymoon. Amelia was a vision of eccentricity in her leather going-away suit, and as she swung a lithe leg over her Nipponese roadster, Mr. Dracula perched beside her on a sidecar cunningly engineered from one of Sidney Quill's coffins.
Just off, then!
Amelia, wait! You haven't thrown your bouquet to the bridesmaid!
Oh, no! Oh, jolly good! There!
Amelia!
Melanie, old girl! That means you're next!
Is Melanie really going to get spliced, or is it just a cruel thrust of fate? And why does Augustus Barnett carry such an amazingly wide range of wines and spirits? How does he keep his prices so low? Listen tomorrow to episode 258 of The World of Melanie Parker, brought to you by Augustus Barnett.
Augustus Barnett proudly presents The World of Melanie Parker.
I do love those colourful old superstitions, don't you? And at the wedding of Miss Brindle and Mr. Dracula, I caught the bride's bouquet.
Ah, but 'tis only a superstition, isn't it?
Yes, of course, crusty old. You mustn't take it seriously.
I'm not so sure. There's a strangely naughty glint in Melanie's eye.
'Tis a glass one, that's why.
Oh, you're dreadful, crusty old. Yes, world famous. It's only a superstition.
Well, thank goodness for that. I need you for my next world famous production.
But as it happens...
What, Melanie?
As it happens, I am going to be married.
Oh. Why are all these weddings fouling out the plot? Is Melanie trying to confuse us in her closing episodes?
No, of course not.
And why does Augustus Barnett carry such an amazingly wide range of wines and spirits? How does he keep his prices so low? Listen tomorrow to episode 259 of The World of Melanie Parker, brought to you by Augustus Barnett.
Augustus Barnett proudly presents The World of Melanie Parker.
How exciting! I really caused a stir in Woodstone Green when I announced my engagement.
But whom are you engaged to, Melanie?
Well, Vicar, I'm not sure I ought to tell you.
Oh, come on, Melanie.
Well, I will tell you this. It's the last person you'd expect.
What, me? Me and Melanie Nosy Parker? What's so smug and stupid and boring?
I think it's time I settled for a little security, you see. After all, the $15,000 I inherited from Uncle Percy won't last forever.
We accept your hand in marriage, Melanie Parker.
Too late, crusty old. I am to marry...
Oh, there you are, my dear.
Sir Frederick Article.
Why is Melanie marrying the much-married misanthrope?
Because he got $4.5 million in his mattress.
Why does Augustus Barnett carry such an amazingly wide range of wines and spirits? How does he keep his prices so low? Listen tomorrow to the last episode...
Oh, no, it can't be.
...of The World of Melanie Parker, brought to you by Augustus Barnett.
Augustus Barnett proudly presents... The World of Melanie Parker.
Multi-mattress millionaire Sir Frederick Article and I were married this morning, and on the instructions of his medical advisors, my 97-year-old hubby went for a pre-honeymoon jog up and down Flasher's Rise to get him in trim for our grueling cruise to the Bahamas.
Won't be long, my dear. Ugh!
Poor Sir Frederick. How tragic that he should expire on his wedding day. And so I bid a reluctant farewell to all my listeners. Frederick, I know, would have wanted me to soldier on to the Bahamas.
Goodbye, Melanie.
Ta-da, Chuck.
Go on, then, if you're going.
Is this really the end of the world of Melanie Parker?
I shall return.
Why does Augustus Barnett carry such an amazingly wide range of wines and spirits? How does he keep his prices so low? Listen sometime in the future to the world of Melanie Parker, brought to you by Augustus Barnett.
Two, six, one. So without further ado, Today's comeback personality, Freddie Barrett.
Nice to be back.
We're all entitled to our own opinions, I suppose.
You seem to be carrying on where we left off. We'll just try to be sarcastic about this. Barrows, Barrows, come to Barrows, come to Freddie Barrows. Yeah, that's left you speechless.
Remember David Jessel making that very first announcement? Well, indeed, a greetings telegram has just been handed to me by Adrian Scott, our producer, from Doreen, Norman, Laurie, Mike, and all at the AA in Stanmore.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, so to all of them, thank you very much indeed, and to all the many people who sent us letters in advance. It's incredible how people notice that something's coming up. We didn't realise until we saw the letters coming in that it was our sixth birthday. Thank you, all of you. Right, 6 minutes to eight.
261 traffic.
A lorry has broken.
Five-year sentence. On the fifth anniversary, shows that the speaking in Wolverhampton, he said the Prime Minister ought to take firm action against the leaky parts of her cabinet.
Well, you've got to the point now what I've never seen in politics, where the cabinet are openly leaking, where they go and make speeches dissociating, when you can see them in little clumps all over the place saying, well, it's not me, it's her, or whatever it may be. You can't go on that basis. I would have sacked anybody who did that.
I'm going to have a break.
Summer's coming, so why not get your kids an LBC t-shirt? In white cotton with the LBC logo on the front, they're really smart. We've got them in children's sizes from 26 to 32 inch, and at £1.50, they're a great bargain. To get yours, send £1.50 to T-Shirts, LBC, PO Box 261, Gough Square, London EC4, or call in during office hours. Checks and postal orders should be made payable to LBC. Oh, and don't forget to tell us which size you want, will you?
Hello there.
I'm going to have a break over Easter.
But even golf gets a bit painful. Particularly if you play golf like I play golf. I was once a happy man, then I took up golf. That was when it all began. Once I joined the golfing clan, I became my favorite fan. Dominated by one thing, sorting out my swing. My caddy said I mustn't move my head, and that my grip's too tight, and that my swing's not right. So I slice a lot with every fairway shot, so try a wood instead. My caddy said, try a wood, my caddy said. I used to be a jolly chap, then I took up golf. Falling deeper in the trap, soon I bought a golfer's cap. Golf's a crippling handicap, though my golf clubs don't help me much. They're my only crutch. My caddy said I mustn't move my head, and that my grip's too tight, and that my swing's not right. So I slice a lot with every fairway shot. My caddy said, my caddy said, my caddy said, I always look ahead and never keep my eye upon the ball. That's why I often hook my drive, and I must always strive to watch the ball instead. My caddy said, watch the ball, my caddy said. As the ball crashed through the rough, I felt my caddy had said more than enough. My life had no fault or flaw, then I took up golf. Now I play it all the more, driving drives and shouting for. Life has no more thrills in store, what else is there left for me? Just a lonely tee. My caddy said my weight is poorly spread, because I'm in a rut when I attempt to putt. And so before I start to keep my feet apart and use an iron instead, my caddy said, number four, my caddy said, I'm as boring as can be since I started golf. Now I'm hooked, I'm never free, I go on from tee to tee. Members keep avoiding me, they all leave the golf club bar when I'm under par. My caddy said my weight is poorly spread, because I'm in a rut when I attempt to putt. So before I start to keep my feet apart, my caddy said, my caddy said, my caddy said that I had been misled, and since my grip was slack I'd never get the knack to strike a gentle wedge and clear the bunker's edge, but try a chip instead. My caddy said, try a chip, my caddy said. As my caddy cried out, good try, I lost control and I blanked his other eye. My caddy said I mustn't lose my head, and if I have to fight I ought to use my right and never bite or butt, but use an uppercut or else a hook instead. My caddy said, try a hook, my caddy said. Okay, boys, I want a nice clean round. Keep your mashes to yourself. No holding in the round and no bashing in the bunkers. Okay, right now, back to your tees. Come out fighting.
We don't know which part of London it is, because the film isn't with us at the moment. Coming up now.
Thanks.
Hello, may I have a gin and tonic, please?
Of course, thank you.
Well, you know, when you order a gin and tonic or a beer here at the King's Head at Islington, you're in for something of a surprise. It's not really the prices that unnerve you so much, but it's trying to work out exactly how much the whole thing really costs. Because this is the only pub left in London where they still use that quaint old language of pounds, shillings and pence. Sorry, how much is that, please?
16 shillings, please.
16? That seems 16. An awful lot.
Well, it's 11 shillings for the gin, 5 shillings for the tonic. Oh.
They say at the King's Head that they talk in old money because they couldn't afford a new till when decimalisation came in 1971. In time, pricing drinks in old money became a kind of King's Head gimmick. Now it's almost like being in a foreign country, with Taylor Walker beer at 13 shillings a pint and Burton's at 14 and sixpence. It can be confusing for customers, but translating from new to old money is no problem for the landlord, Dan Crawford.
Let's see just how quickly you do convert. I mean, what, for example, is £1.35 in old money?
27 bob.
Just like that.
At the King's Head, the bar staff often have to be taught how to deal in old money. But down the road in Exmouth Market, there's a butcher shop where the language of new money has never been spoken.
£1.10 and 9 and 6.
83-year-old Lil Limer has kept her old till and still talks in pounds, shillings and pence. Rung up in old money, Lil's steak and lamb chops do seem rather expensive.
Well, tell me, Lil, how much is a pound of sausages these days?
Pound of sausages, 18 shillings.
So, 11 years on, does the man on the street still remember old money? Well, I showed people in Chapel Street Market some of the old coins. A sixpence, a threepenny bit, a penny and a half crown. And I asked them if they could add it all up. The answer was 3 and 4 pence.
So how much have I got all together?
You got, that's a half a
two
crown.
2 and 10.
2 and 10.
No, you ain't, no, you ain't. No, half a crown.
That's 2 and 6.
2 and 7.
And that's the threepenny piece, yes. Is it? That's 3 shillings. That's
3 and 6.
And how much would that be altogether in old money?
3 shillings and a half pence.
That's
tuppence halfpenny.
Tuppence halfpenny, yeah. No, in the old money, 6 pennies.
That ain't 6 pence, that's a threepenny bit.
So older people now find it hard to count the old coins. But there's a whole new generation which hardly recognises old money at all.
Do you remember what this one is?
No, I've never seen it before.
It's halfpenny.
No.
Penny.
Penny?
Yeah. Is that a 10-bob bit?
There never was a 10-bob bit, of course.
Make Maxine go down the road.
But down at the King's Head, they'll soon have to cope with some strange new decimal coins. Will that finally drag them into the decimal age?
The train.
Oh, yes. Oh, no. It's the Richard Roman Show.
Yes, it certainly is. And it's a great delight to be with you on this wonderful festive afternoon. So just relax with me.
Cuticura at chemists everywhere.
Anything goes. Anything goes. I'm sort of getting used to the name.
Now on 4, Bob Holness presents another Blockbusters. And why does Helen get up at 4 every morning?
Host of Blockbusters, Bob Holness.
Hello again, thank you very much. Thank you very much indeed. Were you with us last time? If you weren't, tough. Thank you. Welcome back. Let's get over all this. Try to be nice to everyone. Let's see the board, because we're going to start the first game in a set of 3 Blockbusters. Time is up. We'll be with you in the next game. We hope you can join us. An exciting start to this one. Be there. We'll be here. Look forward to seeing you. Cheers.
London Broadcasting, the news and information voice of Independent Radio. Welcome to LBC at 6 o'clock, October the 8th. My name's David Jessel, this is The Morning Show, and here's the news.
This is Ken Guy with LBC News. The Middle East War. A meeting of the United Nations Security Council has been called in a bid to stop the fighting. It'll be held at 8:30 tonight, British time.
Well, that was LBC on Monday, October the 8th, 1973. And as we celebrate our 10th birthday, this is AM for Saturday, October the 8th, with Jenny Lacey and Mark Smith.
And when LBC began, I was only 15 years old. Makes me feel really young. Anyway, 10 years on. Sorry.
No comment, Mark, no
right,
comment.
Right, fine. 10 years on, we'll be talking to LBC's chairman, Christopher Chataway, the...
The traffic at 6...
Thank you. riding through the glen. Robin Hood with his band of men. Feared by the bad, loved by the good. Robin Hood, Robin Hood, Robin Hood.